Good morning.
Good morning.
Good to have you all with us. We're finishing up the book of Ruth today, so we'll be in Ruth chapter 4. Ruth chapter 4, wonderful story. In Bethlehem, there was a famine. This happened during the time of the judges. Elimelech decides to take his family, Naomi, two sons, Mahlon and Chilion, and move to Moab. Moab was a bad place. Israelites were warned of God of Moab and ordered not to have anything to do with them. Consequently, they get down to Moab and Elimelech dies. His two sons find two Moabitess women who would have been idolaters. They worship Chemosh, who they often, the Moabites often offered children as sacrifice. Then the two sons died. Naomi decides that there's nothing left for her in Moab, so she decides to go back to Bethlehem, ruined. She said empty. She was full when she left, full family, empty when she got home, no family. They come back to Bethlehem. Ruth decides to support her mother-in-law. She does so by gleaning in the fields. She finds out that it's the field of a man named Boaz. The rest of the story is incredible. But there would be no story if it weren't for Joshua chapter 2. What's in Joshua chapter 2? Joshua sends spies into the city of Jericho. These spies get to the wall and interrupt a home that's in the wall of Jericho. Evidently, someone saw them do it because the king was warned about it. The king comes to the home where these two spies had entered. The name of the homeowner was Rahab. She was a harlot, but she had a big family. The king sent people there to find out what these spies were doing and capture them. She sent them onto the roof. Remember that? Hid them in the flax area where she collected flax. When the king's men got there, they couldn't find them. They left. Knowing that they possibly could be caught, she lets them down with the rope out of the window to the land. They escape freely to Joshua and the leaders of Israel. They promised her before they left that she would be spared, as her family would, if they got safely home, and they did. Now, after all that happened, after Israel came into the land, after they captured those countries, those leaders, the time of the judges took place. During that time, a man named Solomon married Rahab, this harlot that was spared in the attack on Jericho. Only God could arrange that. Only God. A few years later, a young man's born, a young baby boy is born to Rahab and Solomon. The name of the baby boy was Boaz. The same Boaz that's in our story. So now, begat Boaz by Rahab. And Boaz now has fallen in love with a young maiden from Moab called Ruth. Ruth is sent by Naomi to go to the threshing floor and lay down at the feet of Boaz, which was like saying, I'm offering myself to you as wife. Boaz understood all that, sent her back to her home, and from that point on, he's going to pursue every avenue there is in order for him to marry Ruth. That's where our story picks up. In chapter 3 and verse 11, he says to her, fear not. Why would she be afraid? Well, I think several reasons. Number one, if anyone would have seen her coming in and laying at the feet of Boaz, they would have questioned her integrity. They would have thought of her as a sinful woman, but no one saw her. Or at the least, they would have thought of her as a poor woman who's trying to take advantage of a rich landowner. Because she had nothing. Boaz understood that and said to her, fear not, we know you're a virtuous woman. So lay here until the morning, and early in the morning you go back. No one will see you, and we'll be able to hide this thing, and no one will notice or see or pass judgment on you. So that's the condition she went back in. Chapter 4 and verse 1 says this. Then went Boaz up to the gate and sat down there, and behold, the kinsman of whom Boaz spake came by, unto whom he said, oh, turn aside, sit down. And he turned aside and sat down. And he took 10 men of the elders of the city and said, sit ye down here. And they sat down. That the gate in Bethlehem, this gate, was the gate of commerce and judicial affairs. Same thing was true in Jerusalem. They had a gate that was where the judicial affairs of the Jews were taken care of in Jerusalem, and commerce, where people could go in, buy and sell and trade, find and produce, those kinds of things. Well, just inside this gate, as people were passing back and forth, lots of people, there were some stone seats made, many of them. And that's where Boaz went. He went to sit down in one of these seats, saw his relative pass by who had the right of redemption. Said, hey, sit down. I want to talk to you about something that's very important. So the man sat down. Then he spies 10 elders. These would both be in age and leadership. They were leaders in Bethlehem. He noticed them there because they would have stayed, would have been around to pass judgment on any part of business that they'd entertained during that day. So they would have been in that area. So they sat down 10. And by the way, 10 was a quorum required for judicial action. They had to be at least 10. So he gets 10 men to sit down. And he says to them, I've got a situation. And that involves one of my kinsmen. That pricked the ear of that other kinsman. He said, Naomi has a piece of land she's selling. That word selleth there really has the implication of it's up for sale. It doesn't imply that she owned it, she may have lost it. But anyhow, the land came up for sale. And he said it was Naomi's property. So he says, it's redeemable. today. So he says to the fellow that crossed by, will you redeem it? Now I ask you two questions. Who wouldn't want a nice new piece of land? Number two, he understood Naomi was selling it, or Naomi was the previous owner. So it did not involve Naomi because she was too old for childbearing. So he's not stuck with Naomi. He can buy the land. It's a good deal. It'll increase his wealth. So he says, I'll buy it. And so Boaz said, that's great. Now he says, there's the rest of the story. Remember Paul Harvey used to say that, the rest of the story. There's the rest of the story. The rest of the story is there's a Moabitess young woman who is second heir to that property if someone purchases it. She was the wife of Mahlon, the husband, who was the son of Elimelech and Naomi. If you buy the property, you redeem it. You have to redeem Ruth also. So there's a problem now. No Naomi land. Ruth land. The second was not a good deal for the soul. He says, I can't redeem it, because I'll mar my own inheritance. What do you mean by that? Let me put a couple of things. Number one, he obviously was saying, I'm already married. Now, that would not have been an interesting thing or an enjoyable thing for his wife if he married Ruth, bringing a young woman into the home. Would not have been very profitable for that man, not only financially, but emotionally. Relationships would be marred, be put under pressure. So he is probably already married. Number two, since he is a near kinsman, probably the same age or a little older than Boaz, his children would have all been grown. Once the children get grown in Jewish society, you give your property to your children. The oldest gets the major portion, and the other children divide the rest. So he had already given out his inheritance to these children. If he buys a piece of property, brings Ruth into this action, and Ruth has children, those children that already got their inheritance will have to give some of inheritance back in order to care for Ruth's children. So his inheritance would have been more, would have been too difficult for him to do. So the rest of the story says, I can't do it. Look at chapter 4, verse 3. He said it again. Naomi has come out of the country of Moab, sold a parcel of land, which was our brothers of Elimelech. I thought to advise thee. I love that statement. I just want to give you some information. Then said Boaz, verse 5, what day thou buyest the field of the hand of Naomi, thou must also of Ruth the Moabitess, the wife of the dead, to raise up the name of the dead upon the inheritance. So he stopped. Should he buy the land? Should he not buy the land? What should he do? This plan of Boaz's wasn't just put together when he sat down. He thought through, because remember back in chapter 3, he said, I'll finish this.
I'll get
this completed.
I'll do everything I can
to make sure this happens.
What happens?
You marry me.
So he knew that this man was married. He knew he had grown children. He knew the inheritance passed from the owing to him would create some problems, especially if he had to marry Ruth. And so he was not only fairly certain of what was going to take place, he was hoping beyond hope that these things would work out. So Boaz looks at the man and says, if you'll not redeem it, I'll redeem it. And the man did something unique only to Israel. He took off his shoe. Now, my son takes off his shoes all the time. I wish he would not. When we're there, because he should wash his feet. Just pick it up. But he took off one shoe. What on earth should he take his shoe off for? Here's why. The shoe was a picture, when you took it off, of giving up the right to walk properly. So he was saying by giving up his shoe, I will not walk on that property. I don't own it. But you can redeem it and walk on the property. It's a picture of ownership. And so when the person who says, I will not redeem it, takes his shoe off and gives it to the one who says, I will redeem it, he's saying, in essence, it's your property, you own it, you have the right to it, you can walk about on it, it's your property. So, Boaz redeems the property. Naomi and Ruth were in an incredibly difficult position. Ruth had nothing. She had nothing to give. Nothing that she owned. She had nothing at all. She was completely without. Just like you and I are when we come to Christ. We have nothing. Nothing to give him. Nothing to argue our case. Nothing that would make it better for us. We have nothing. That's how Ruth approached Boaz. And Boaz, who had the estate, decided to take Ruth as his bride and marry her and raise up children to redeem her and her property from waste. Christ did the same thing. Christ came, paid your sin debt, my sin debt, reached down in our wicked state and our sorry state and redeemed us. Made us his bride and will take us home someday to be with him, where we will live forever and ever on his property, safe and secure for eternity. This story began in Joshua. In Joshua chapter 6, Joshua reiterates, save Rahab and redeem yourself. She's delivered her mother, her father, her brothers and sisters, and all that she owned, and brought to Jerusalem. She marries Solomon, and they had a son named Boaz, this man here. Boaz married Ruth, all God's people said. What a time that must have. Some months after they married, Ruth got pregnant. Ruth bare a son whose name was Obed.
What's that got to do with our story? Solomon married Rahab, gave birth to Boaz. Boaz married Ruth and gave birth to Obed. Obed begat Jesse. Jesse begat David in Bethlehem, Ephratah, just like Micah 5:2 says, that Christ would be born in Bethlehem, the lineage and the house of David. No Ruth, no Obed, no Obed, no Jesse. No Jesse, no David, no David, no Christ. Let me read you Matthew chapter 1, verse 5. Well, let me go up to verse 4. Aram begat Amminadab. Amminadab begat Nahshon. Nahshon begat Solomon. This is 1,000+ years later. Verse 5, and Solomon begat Boaz of Rahab. And Boaz begat Obed of Ruth. And Obed begat Jesse. And Jesse begat David the king, and David the king rested in the lineage. And Christ was directly connected to the lineage of David. Why was that important? Because God promised that from the house of David, from his loins, he would raise up a leader, a king, a governor, king of kings, lord of lords, who would save the people, deliver the people, set up his kingdom, and rule and reign with his people for the rest of eternity. All God's people said, Ruth is a great book. What an incredible story. That God could decide, way back in Joshua's day, that these spies would enter that place and Rahab would be there. She may have thought these spies came to see her. She was a prostitute, but she interceded for the spies, intervened in their difficulty, released them so they could escape. Because of that, she was saved when the city, by the way, was completely destroyed. Every mother, daughter, son, man, woman, boy, girl, all commerce destroyed, flattened. The only people that walked out of that city alive was Rahab and her family. And her chance was that she happened upon Solomon? I don't think so. God saved her, delivered her, brought her to Jerusalem. She meets Solomon during the time of the judges. And he marries her. Has a son. Only a sovereign God could do this. Only the God of heaven could accomplish this kind of thing. When people say, oh, I don't believe the Bible, let them read this story. They'll come to the conclusion that God did something supernatural because he's a sovereign God. He's a providential God. And he worked out all the details from Joshua's time all the way down to Christ's birth, and is continuing to work that out till someday we'll rule and reign with him. All God's peace. What a story. God help us to be thankful for this little book of Ruth that stands out so glaringly in the lineage of Christ. It would never have happened if it would have been men in charge. We would have failed somewhere. But God was in charge. And even the failures of men God used in this story providentially to produce the lineage necessary for Christ in him. Lord Jesus, thank you for all you do and how you do it. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.